Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah, that you are God, that you are our Father. We thank you, Lord God, that you care about every one of us, oh Lord God, that you love us with a love, oh God, that we can't even comprehend or begin to understand, oh Lord God. Father God, I just thank you that you desire to speak to our hearts today. God, that you desire to take us by our hand, oh Lord God, and to lead us into all of your truth, oh God. Hallelujah. Father God, I pray that as we dive into your word today, oh Lord God, that you will give us ears to hear what you are saying, what you are speaking to our hearts, oh Lord God. Father God, I pray that our hearts will be open to receive, oh Lord God, what it is that you desire to speak to us, God. Hallelujah. Father, you will speak to us very individually, Father, in the name of Jesus. God, I pray that your word will go forth, oh Lord God, with the power, oh God, that you are, Father, in the name of Jesus. I pray, oh Lord God, that it will begin to change the hearts, oh Lord God, of the people as they hear it and as they receive it, Father, in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you for your word today, that it is life to us today, that it is bread to us today, oh Lord God. Hallelujah. And I pray, Father God, that it will satisfy, hallelujah, the hungry soul, Father, in the name of Jesus. God, I pray that you would speak through my mouth. Oh, Lord God, that I will say your words, oh, Lord God. Help me, oh, Father God, to hear what you say and to speak. God, I pray that you will bless the meditations of my heart, oh, Lord God, and that they will be acceptable in your sight, oh, Lord God. Hallelujah. You are my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, let every heart say amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Like Pastor said, that we just came off of a fast this past week, and it just seemed to be different than any other kind, especially with us reading through the book of John. It seemed like when I read the book of John, it was just different. I don't even know what other way to say it. You know, I don't know, because I thought, was it because I was more focused, or was it because, too, I believe that God wanted us to hear something. God wanted us to see more. God wanted to pull us in more, because it almost seemed like that we were walking through this week, or we were walking through the ministry of Jesus just in this short amount of week, and we could see the heart of God. We could see his love that he has towards us. And so it was just a good time and just a blessed time to spend that time with God and to hear him to speak. And so during my reading, it seemed like that there was one thing besides the love of God and him expressing his love. It seemed to me like that there was something else that God, I know, was speaking and that God was saying. And so if I was to sum it up into one word, that word would be believe. Jesus said in the book of John, in John 20, verse 30, John said, John is the writer of John the disciple. Let me slow down. John the disciple is the writer of the book of John. And he said that the purpose of this book, the purpose of me writing this, he said in verse 31, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. The whole purpose of him writing this book is so that we would believe that Jesus really is the one, that Jesus really is all that we need, that Jesus really is the answer. And not only that, not to believe that he is, but to believe what he said, to believe the things that he said. It's one thing to know him, and it's one thing to say that you know him, but it's another thing when it comes to that we believe all of Jesus. We can just take the person of Jesus that saved my soul from a burning hell. But then he said, then you become my disciple by listening to what I said. Jesus kept saying throughout the book of John, I am he who sent me. I have a message that is coming from God that is to all of the people. Even John the Baptist said that. It said that I am the one who was sent to you to give you a message. But I'm afraid that a lot of times the people, they looked beyond the message, or they didn't hear the message because they were confused by the messenger. And a lot of times we won't receive the word of God because of the messenger. And so today I believe that the one thing that we are going to talk about is do you believe? And it's like, yes, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Yes, I believe that he died for my sins. But that's only just a part of it. It goes beyond that. He's saying, do you believe what I say? We see the person of Jesus. We can see him moving throughout the earth. But do we believe what he says? And I believe that we're going to be challenged today. And do we believe what we say we believe? Do we believe what we say we believe? Because if we believe the words of Jesus, then why do we wrestle? Why do we go back and forth? Why do we doubt the things that he has said to us? Why do we have that question? Why are we uncertain about the things that he said? Jesus is saying, I'm drawing you in and I'm calling you in deeper to a different level of believing. See, the Pharisees and the Jews, they studied the scriptures. They studied the things that the old prophets had said. They read the word of the time when the Messiah come. They read about the signs. They were reading of the signs. All of the signs were there, but yet there were those that did not believe. There were those who did not receive how God was sending the message. They didn't receive how the Savior had come into the world. They were blinded to the message that Jesus came, that John the Baptist came preaching. They were blinded. They couldn't hear. They couldn't see, even though they knew, even though they were in the synagogue, even though they were in the temple, even though we are in the church house all the time, hearing the word of God, but yet we would get up and we would go and we would not believe. Well, I believe that there are different levels of believing, and those are the things that I'm going to talk about today. What I noticed that throughout the book of John, there were different levels that people believed the message. The first one is that there are those that are never going to come to believe. There are those who will hear the message, but they will dissect it to the point where they don't believe. And then there are those people who Jesus said they never belong to him. So they're never going to hear it. But the thing that I noticed that in the scripture was they were always present. They was always there in his face, ready to argue the word of God, ready to disprove everything that he said. Jesus said, these people, they don't even belong to me. So it's like, why spend the time? It's like, but you know what? Jesus has such a love for them. He even tried to talk to them. He kept talking to them, kept giving them the word that he was sent to give them. He didn't draw back and say, but he told them plainly. I'm going to read a bunch of scriptures, and that's all from the whole book of John, and we're just going to go through these. Jesus said in John 8:37, they were talking to Jesus, and they were telling him, well, we're Abraham's descendants. They're saying, we've been living in the temple. We study the scriptures. We study the law of God. We know who he is. But Jesus said, he says, I know that you are Abraham's descendants. This is John 8:37. He says, but still, you seek to kill me. You seek to get me out of the way. You seek to silence my voice. And how many times do we do that? That we don't want to hear what God is saying, or we don't want to believe the things that he's saying. And Jesus said this, you cannot hear because my word has no place in you. The Amplified says it like this, my word has no place to grow in you, and it makes no change in your heart. So it's like you hear the word of God and we don't believe because, number one, some people are just not going to ever believe. And so there's not going to be a change in their heart. There's just not going to be because they don't even belong to them. Jesus said in 8:43, he said, "Why don't you understand my speech?" So no matter how much we may talk to a person who don't believe, believe, or nor do they want to believe, they are not going to hear the words of God. It's going to go in, it's going to be twisted, and it's going to come out sounding like something else. But Jesus said, it is because you're not able to hear what I'm saying because you don't belong to me. He said in 8:47, whoever belongs to God hears what God is saying. The reason that you do not hear is because you do not believe God. If you believe God, you will hear and you will listen to the things that he is saying. Hear God. Believe God. In chapter 9, I looked at chapter 9, the man who was born blind. I'm still talking about those people who are never going to see. These people were always in Jesus' face. And so here Jesus went and he healed a blind man on the Sabbath day, which according to the Pharisees was illegal, that he should not have been doing that, but he's God. How are you going to tell God what he can and what he cannot do and when he can and when he cannot do it? We get beside ourselves. And so here Jesus healed a blind man. And the man, he put the mud on his eyes and he went and washed. And the man said, "I can see." But yet they brought the man in and they questioned whether or not he was ever blind. Even though his parents came and testified, yes, he was blind. But they still refused to believe. They refused to believe the miracle that he had done. Why? Because they just didn't belong to him, but they sit up in the church house and it's like they're sitting up in the synagogue, they're sitting up in the temple, and they said they studied the word of God, but yet it seemed like they said, "I'm not going to believe. I'm only going to go so far and I just don't believe." They even called Jesus a sinner. They told him that he was speaking blasphemous words and they wanted to stone him. But the thing is that Jesus went to this man when they finally threw the blind man out. Because he was still saying that, "No, this man healed me. His name is Jesus. I don't know who he is. I don't know where he is. All I know is that he healed me." And so when Jesus found the man, he asked the man, he says, I told you in chapter 10.
Is that where I am?
No. But I think I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm trying to follow my notes and then and preach it too at the same time. And so, but they refused to believe that Jesus was the Son of God, that Jesus was who he said he was, that he was the one who came down from the Father, that he was the one who was sent to save us from their sin. There are going to be people who are never going to believe that. Never going to believe that. Jesus told them in chapter 10, they surrounded him and they said, "Jesus, just go ahead and tell us plainly. Just get us out of our suspense and tell us, are you the Christ?" He said, "I have told you over and over and over again that I am he." He says, "But you do not believe." And then he went further and said, "Because you are not my sheep." He said, "My sheep know my voice. My sheep hear my voice. My sheep follow me." And he said, "You don't know me because you don't even belong to me." And so they wanted to stone him and just say and tell him that he was blaspheming and he was not from God. And so there are people, we just need to be settled that there are some people who are never going to hear your message. There are some people who don't even want Christ, but yet they're going to still be in your face to dispute the word of God. You can give them the word of God and pray that their hearts will be changed, but there's no guarantee, especially if they don't belong to Christ. There are some hearts that are never going to change. And then there are those that do believe, or they believe in something to the point that they will testify that he is, but the scripture says that they won't take a stand. because they stand to lose something that they deem more valuable or that they esteem more highly than to believe in Jesus. The Pharisees and the Jewish leaders, they were established in their own way. And so they said, this is how we do it. And this is how we go to the temple. This is how we go to the temple every day, singing a song. And this is what we do. We get up and we read. We don't do works of God on the Sabbath day. So there are those who do believe something, but they won't acknowledge because they'll stand to lose something. In chapter 11, they had said that if we let Jesus go on doing these things, then everyone will start to believe in him, and then the Romans will come and take away our synagogue. They were more concerned about their temple. They were more concerned about the things of this world than they were concerned about the message of God and what God was doing. They were standing in the way of people to receiving God. In chapter 12, it says, even among the rulers, many believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they wouldn't confess him because they thought that they would be kicked out and excommunicated because they loved the approval of men more than they loved the approval of God. Some people will only come so far because they stand to lose something that they think that is that they value that is more or that seems to them to be more valuable to them in this life. Maybe it's because people fear what others are going to say, that they won't take a stand. And so we don't receive the word of God. We say we believe, but we're only going to come so far. Why? Because maybe it'll affect our status with people, because it'll affect us being accepted into society. Jesus is calling us more to come beyond that. And then there are those that are skeptical and have their doubts, and they say, I'll see it if I believe it. We believe in Jesus, but then there are those doubts and there are those uncertainties that we have. And many people, including the disciples, as they witnessed the miracles of Jesus and his teachings, they eventually came over and said, yes, I have come to believe that, yes, you are the Son of God. And so there are those people that are going to hold back until they know for sure that they are. Like the disciple Nathaniel, he was sitting under a tree and they ran and said, Nathaniel, we have found the Messiah. He is here. Come. And so they just happened to mention that he was from Nazareth. And Nathaniel said, can't nothing good come from Nazareth. But yet he still went. And when he encountered Jesus, Jesus said, I saw you sitting up under a tree. And Nathaniel said, oh, this is the Messiah. This is the one. And so he graduated from his skepticism and his doubting. And then he believed because he saw, and that because he witnessed and he heard that Jesus really is the one. Even the woman who had met at the well, Jesus told her about her life, and then she said, oh, I perceive that you are a prophet. And then she ran back to the town and she said, I think this may be the Messiah that has come. And even so, she in her heart, she knew that the Messiah was coming, and she was looking for the Messiah. And then when he came and he said, I am he, she got all excited. But I noticed when she ran back, she said, could this be the one? There was still that little skepticism there. And sometimes that's where we are. But God is saying, I need you to come up a little bit more. And then there was Thomas. Thomas said, I won't believe. They told Thomas, Jesus showed up here. He is risen from the dead, and he showed up here. And Thomas said, I'm not going to believe unless I could put my hands, until I could see the nail wounds in his hands, and I could see his side being pierced. And then when Jesus came, He said, because of Jesus' great love for us, he simply said to Simon, stop doubting and believe. And I believe that that's what God is saying to us today. He's wanting us to take him at his word. He's wanting us to just believe him. And this is where I got ahead in chapter 9. When Jesus went, when they had kicked that blind man out of the temple, Jesus went to the man and he said to him in chapter 9, verse 35, when Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found the blind man, he said to him, do you believe in the Son of God? And he answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? Wait, did I read that right? Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? And Jesus said to him, you have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you. Then he said, Lord, I believe. Just simply because God said to him, because Jesus said to him, I am he. He said, then, Lord, I believe. Jesus simply wants us to just to take him at his word. And that man, it said, he began to worship him. Then the Samaritans, after the woman had gone, ran back and told the Samaritans, they said, could this be the Christ? They invited Jesus to come, but why? Why? Because they are expecting the Messiah. They're waiting for his coming as God has promised. And so when Jesus spent time with them, they said to the woman in chapter 4, John 4, verse 42, then they said to the woman, now we believe, not because of what you said, but we have seen for ourselves and we have heard him and we know that this is indeed the Son, the Savior, the Christ, the Savior of the world. They spent time with Jesus and they said, they came to the conclusion, this is the Son of God. They simply believed. They simply knew for themselves, not because of a testimony of somebody else, but they knew within their own heart that this is the Son of God. And then there was the nobleman. In chapter four, further down, in verse 47, when the nobleman, when he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and implored him to come down and to heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then Jesus said to him, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. But the nobleman said to him, sir, come down before my child dies. And Jesus said to him, go your way, your son lives. And so the man believed the word of God, the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went his way. And apparently he had quite a distance to go, because the next day the people ran and they said to him, your son lives. And he asked the people, at what time did my son rise up? And it was the exact same hour that Jesus had said the day before that your son lives. And it said that all of his household believed. But that man took Jesus at his word. When he told him your son lives, even though he didn't have proof of it right then and there, he took Jesus's word and believed that my son lives. God is calling us to just take him at his word, to believe without seeing, to believe without the doubting, to believe without the going back and forth. He's calling us to a different level of believing. I believe that our belief and what we believe is going to be is being challenged even today. No matter what level of believing you are at, whether you are still skeptic about God, whether you still wishy-washy, you don't know if he heard you, you don't know if he's listening to you, God is calling us to come beyond. He's calling us to come in deeper. He's wanting us to remove the questions about him, about who he is, about the things that he has come to say to us. He wants us to come away from the uncertainty. God is calling us to a different level of believing him. He's calling us to a different level of relying upon. He's calling us to a different level of just trusting him. He's calling us to a different level of simply believing him. God is saying to stay where we are is not going to work anymore. But he's calling us to come in deeper. He's calling us to come in closer. We need to know our God so that when he speaks, we believe. That we believe without seeing. We believe him without saying, well, let's see if it's going to work. Maybe I should have a backup plan. Maybe I should come up with a way of doing this. God is calling us beyond. And he's calling us deeper in our level of believing. No matter where your level of believing is. Whether you're listening to me today and you just don't know. He's calling you in. He's saying, believe me today. He's saying, trust me today. He's saying, rely upon me and my spirit. I have put myself on the inside of you, and I am speaking to you. And I am calling you to come on up. I am calling you to trust me. I am calling you to hear me and to know that what I'm saying is so. Whatever I have said, whatever I have spoken to you, it's coming to pass. My Father is always working, Jesus said. He's always working. He's always moving on your behalf. Let's trust him today. Jesus said this in chapter 6, verse 29. Jesus said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent, that you would adhere to him, that you would hold on to what he has said, that you would trust in the words that Jesus has already spoken, that you would rely upon them, that your life depends only upon what he has said, that you would have faith in the one that God has sent. That is your work. That is your job. Jesus said, only believe. Simply believe. Jesus, who was sent by God, he had this message for us. He said, I am the living water. He said, you will never thirst again. He said, I am the bread of life. I will give to you everything that you need that will sustain you, that you won't have want anymore. There is nothing that you can say that you would lack, because God is going to make sure that it is taken care of. Jesus said, I am the light of the world, that you no longer have to walk in darkness, be a part of the darkness, be bound by the darkness, be bound by sin. He said, I came that you would be able to see that I am clearly the way, that I am clearly the answer. He says, I am the door, or I am the gate. I am the way to salvation. I am the way to the Father. And you can come to the Father with no questions asked. Come to the Father. He said, I am the good shepherd, which means that he's going to take care of every need. He's going to protect you. He's going to keep you. He's going to make sure that you have everything that you need. Then he said, I am the resurrection and I am the life. He is calling us out of darkness. He is calling us from the grave, and he is calling us into life the way he has ordained for life to be. There is no other way. Jesus is saying there is no other way. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I am everything that you need. You won't be satisfied outside of me. In John chapter 15, Jesus in essence describes that if we abide in him, or if we stay connected to him, then we will live. We will get everything that we need to thrive. But he says that if you are cut off or if you are broken off, he said you'll wither and you'll die. But that's not what God desires for us. He desires that every one of us would have life. Even those first group of people who will never, ever change, his desire is still that they will hear the word of God. That's why he keeps saying it. That's why he'll come back and say, hey, I am the truth and the life. Hear me. But God in his great love for us desires us. He even told Thomas lovingly, he said, stop doubting and just believe. He told Thomas, he said, because you have seen me, you have believed. He said, but blessed are those who have not seen, but yet they have believed. Jesus is looking for us to simply believe. Jesus was on mission in John chapter 6, in verse 37. He said, all those that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. I will never cast you out. Hear that today. If you've been having trouble believing him, hear that is what he said. He said, I won't cast you out. Come to me, and there won't be any questions asked. Come to me. He says, for I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should not lose none of those that he has given to me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. Jesus has such a love for us. When we start looking at John, starting with John chapter 13, all the way through the end, we see the abiding love that God has for all of mankind. He is working that he will not lose one. He said, Jesus prayed, I will not lose a one, Father. I have given them your word, and now they are in us, oh God. We have become one with him. Receive and let's believe the things that God has said. Jesus said in chapter 13:1, and I wanted to read that in the Amplified, and then let me turn my Bible back on. In John chapter 13, verse 1, it's coming up. The Amplified reads it this way. Now before the Passover feast, Jesus knew that his hour had come, and it was time for him to leave this world and return to the Father. And it says, and having greatly loved his own who were in the world, he loved them and continuously loved them with his perfect love to the end eternally. Jesus loves us through our ups and our downs, through what we call our failures. Jesus loves us no matter what, and he's pulling for us. He's praying for us. He knows that the Father is going to bring us through. You're going to come through this hard time. You're going to come through, and you're going to see Jesus like you've never seen him before. And this time, we're going to believe everything that he says to us. We're going to move out on everything that he says to us. Why? Because of this new level of believing that God is calling us to, that God is drawing us to. We have to believe him in a new and a different way. We have to simply take him at his word. Jesus said, just simply believe me. He told Thomas, simply believe. He said, stop doubting and believe. And Thomas said, my Lord and my God. Our response needs to be my Lord and my God. And that's just simply saying, Lord God, help me. Help my unbelief, God, where I have struggled. Help me to believe you. Help me to trust you. That's where we are today. We're asking God to help us because I believe that there is so much more that God, there is so much more that God wants to say to us. There is so much more that God needs to say to us. But we need to come up higher. We need to, because when he speaks, we need to understand his words. We don't need to be tossed to and fro and wondering. God has not called us to wonder about what he said. But he said, those who are mine, those who belong to me, will hear what I am saying. Let's believe God. Let's stop doubting. And let's hear him and let's believe what he says. Father God, I just pray that you know where each one of us are. Lord God, I pray that you are calling us, oh Lord God, to come out deeper, oh Lord God, in believing the things that you say, oh Lord God. Father God, I pray that when you give the command, that when you say, that we'll just step out. Oh Lord God, and oh God, just like Peter just stepped out of that boat. He didn't know how to walk on water, but when you called him, he was able to do it. Lord God, just like the man who was at the pool of Bethesda, Lord God, he said he was there for 38 years, but he kept saying, I don't have anybody to help me. I don't have any help. But when Jesus spoke, get up, he got up without any help, without the help that he thought he was looking for. Lord God, I pray that you will bring us to the place that we will stop looking here and there for proof and for signs, oh Lord God, but that we will take you at your word, oh Lord God, and when you say get up, Lord God, that we will get up and that we will be about your business. Father God, I hear you calling us, oh Lord God, into a deeper level of believing you, oh God. Help us, oh Lord God, to take that step, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord God, that you are calling, that you are drawing us, oh Lord God. Father God, I thank you. You said, oh God, you said, oh Lord God, that you will not leave one behind, oh God. That no, none of us you will cast out, oh Lord God. No matter where we've been or what we've done, oh Lord God, we just come to you today, right now, oh Lord God. Knowing, Father God, that you hear our cry to help us, oh Lord God, in our belief. Help us if we disbelieve, oh God. Help us, oh Lord God. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. God, you see and you know each one of us. Bring us forth, oh God. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ into your heart today, today is the day. You can believe him when he says that he loves you with an everlasting love, that he came and he laid down his life just for you. You can believe that. You can believe that if he said, I have removed your sin as far as the east is from the west, and he said it, then you can believe that, that he'll never ever bring up your past before you again. He'll only speak to you about what he has for you. He sees your past and he wiped it out with his blood. And now there is nothing but life in front of you. Won't you receive Jesus today? Won't you believe what he is saying to you today? And if you have already received Christ, let's go deeper. Let's pay attention to what he's saying. Let's take him at his word and just believe that all that he is saying to us, it is so. And let us remove the doubt and just keep believing. God bless you.
Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Do you believe? And if you do, will you take this opportunity to trust the Lord even more than you have to this day? In Sunday school, we were challenged this morning to look at the fact that there is nothing too hard for God. Nothing impossible as far as God is concerned. It can't be so hard. It can't be so way out there that God can't make a difference and God can't bring a change. God can create and he can do anything. And we were challenged in Sunday school this morning to believe that. And now we're being challenged to just believe God, period. Go ahead and decide that the Lord is right about all things and everything. If you have heard the voice of the Lord today, don't reject it. Don't even take time to say, well, maybe this or maybe that. No, just go ahead and say, the Father has called me to a place where I will understand that whatever he speaks and whatever he says it is so. Whatever the Father has promised he can do, he is more than able to do it. Let us be challenged today to believe. Amen. Praise the Lord. Listen, if you want to be contacted by us, maybe you heard the word today and you just need somebody to contact you, need somebody to talk to you. Maybe there's something that you need us to say to you. We invite you to send us a message through Facebook Messenger, fill out the form on our website, or you can call 314-287-3013, and we will get your request. And if it's prayer you need to speak with someone, we're making ourselves available to you so that whatever you're needing, you won't come up lacking, you won't come up short, because the Lord God Almighty wants you to be blessed. He wants you to have life, and he wants you to be alive and free in Jesus' name. We would like to invite you to join us for our virtual interactive weekly services. Monday morning, we begin Monday through Friday at 5:30 a.m. We have our morning prayer line. Sunday morning, we have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m., we have Bible study on Monday night at 7 p.m. And we have prayer meeting Wednesday at 7 p.m. And these services are via Zoom. And so to receive the video information or call information, please send an email to twcbrooklyn@gmail.com. And we will get the information to you so that you can come on the prayer line in the morning, or you can come on Zoom with us when we're having our study times and our prayer meeting on Wednesday evening. We invite you to do these things so that you can have time of fellowship with us, and most of all, that you can have fellowship in the presence of the Lord. Next Sunday, February the 7th, that's going to be our communion Sunday. So we're inviting you, Transforming Word Church, to get you some bread and get you some juice so that we can commune together, and so that we can remember the Lord and the sacrifice that he made when he gave his life for us, saving us from sin and reconciling us to God. We want to just pause and thank God for that time and to remember what Jesus has done to give us life. Leadership training will be Friday, February 12th, 2021 at 6:30 p.m. If you're a leader in the church, and that will be a Zoom meeting, the call information will be sent to you. If you're already a leader at the church, we invite you to come and be a part of that training session on February 12th, 2021 at 6:30 p.m. If you are someone in the church who you are aspiring toward leadership, or you feel like God is speaking to you to get up and take the lead in something here and do something in the church, we want you in those training sessions so that you will understand and know what God requires of us as leaders. Amen. We invite you to be there. And if you're a leader of the church and you can't, please contact me by email or text message and let me know that you can't come and why you can't come. I would appreciate that. We want to sing happy birthday to you, to Latika Vaughn, Jeffrey Bartlett, and Leslie Harden, who are all celebrating birthdays in February. Happy birthday to them, and they can say happy birthday to me while we sing happy birthday to them. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you want to stay connected, you can stay connected with us through transformingword.church, which is our website, or you can download our app from the Play Store or the App Store. And then, of course, you can get in contact with us or stay connected through Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube, Transforming Word Church. We want you to stay connected. We want us to be one. We want us to be all on one accord. And so when we come together in all of our meetings, that gives us the idea of what's going on at the church, and it gives us the opportunity to fellowship one with the other. I need you, you need me, and we need to all realize that. Well, Christ in you is the hope of glory. God's earnest expectation is that Christ would be formed in every believer. Everyone who comes to Jesus as Savior, God is expecting for the Christ to show up in you. That is God's expected hope of you being someone who demonstrates his life and his person here in this earth. We want to thank you again for joining us this week, and we pray that you will have a blessed and a prosperous week in the Lord. Now, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. And God bless you. We'll see you next time.